Sit back, relax, and raise a glass, for spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin crawls with your pre-haunting wolf having a ball. Troop was home in Washington pool, with guests and spirits in your favorite pools. Gather the others, no hesitating, the moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, crack open the can and fill to the top. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, this is your podcast and it's called Hogs and Hogs.
No matter where you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast. We cover all things paranormal while delightfully devouring the most scrumptious craft beer from all over the U.S. of A. Thanks to our incredible sponsor, Tavour. Follow them at T-A-V-O-U-R. We'll give you a discount code in just a little bit. Follow us on all social media platforms at Haunts and Hops. Johnny LaQuasta here at Jay Quasto on the socials. Let's get to the stars of the show. She is a veteran paranormal investigator, former team member on Ghost Hunters, a wealth of knowledge, and she is so spectral, we cannot even see her on this broadcast right now. Follow her at Ashley Trobe. She is the brilliant, the scrumptralescent Ashley Trobe.
I thought that I would just kind of get into the theme of not being seen, and maybe everybody can kind of just get an idea of who I might be. So that's where I'm at.
May I say, your voice sounds very seductive in over your phone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is this Thank our you. Way of hitting on us? Because it's working.
Well, I'm going to sit out there. Single. I'm always hitting on all of you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Ashley is by far the most open person we know, and that's why we love her. And she is certified in paranormal investigation and cryptozoology, lifelong connection to the paranormal, talking to her dead grandma at 5 years old, and her one-woman show 50 Shades of Mix is going to hit the earth real soon, and she's also involved in a really cool project with our very special guest. But first, follow her on the socials at Anastasia Washington or Anastasia W, because she's Anastasia Washington.
Hi guys,
what's happening? You're dancing, you're ready to roll.
I'm ready. I've got a beer. I'm ready to go. I don't know what this accent is.
Yeah, that's,
I'm gonna let it go. I'm gonna let it go.
Do you have an IPA?
Wouldn't you just love me to have an IPA? Wouldn't you just love it, Ollie?
I think you should talk like a Southern Belle the whole episode.
Okay, maybe let me just get my mom in here so she can give me that Southern Belle. Like, yeah, maybe drink beer again.
Yeah. I think it'd be perfect. And let's get to our special guest. They are the co-creators and writers of The Cosmic Game, which is a horror fantasy audio drama hearkening us back to the days when people didn't have television and could be terrified of radio. Thanks, Orson Welles. The Cosmic Game is interactive and it's tremendous, and it's launching on Kickstarter on April 8th. Anastasia's involved. The show can be found at Drunken Devil on social media, and they are Matt Dorado and Mac Manson. Greetings, gentlemen.
Hello there.
Hello.
Very nice to be here. We are also drinking nice beverages that taste delicious and make us happy.
I love a lager. I'm a sucker for a lager. And it's so true. I was like, pick up lagers.
even though our local beer place really only carries hazy IPAs.
Is there an inside joke about IPAs with you guys? Because
explain.
So I hate IPA.
So does Matt.
So do I.
Matt, okay.
Cannot and stand them.
They do not.
Yeah. Ashley and I, we make love to IPAs on the other
hand. Ah, I see. Oh. I feel like you could go, you're either one of the two. Like, there's no middle ground with an IPA.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, I will cover Michael B. Jordan in a stout and lick it off like nobody's business. Ooh, but an IPA, I'd have to tell him to leave.
Yeah,
you know what? I'm not even gay, and I would definitely do that to Michael B. Jordan. Like 100% would do that.
Right?
Stout, yeah, I mean, Michael B. Jordan combination. Mm.
Ash,
I think all of us would do that to Michael B. Jordan as well.
Correct.
Anastasia, yeah.
But the IPA, I'd be like, nah, bro.
No, you wouldn't. No, you would. You would lick the IPA. You would.
Okay, but IPA are white people. I get it. It's terrible. We're the worst. But like.
See, okay. There's the seductive voice again.
She's just whispering into the phone.
I've been practicing.
IPA on Michael B. Jordan. See, Anastasia's losing it already.
See, I'm gay, and I would do that to Michael B. Jordan with an IPA.
I just would prefer if it was a sour or a stout or a porter.
Or a Capri Sun, whatever. Anything.
Capri Sun would be great.
No, we don't do Capri Suns here.
Who doesn't want to drink booze out of a drink pouch? I mean, come on.
Confession. Like
getting out of a pool party.
Confession. Sean can attest to this because you guys know Sean, who's also part of the project.
Yes.
I made everybody little tiny picnic baskets for when we went to see Star Wars live, and I injected Capri Suns with vodka and whiskey.
Hell yeah.
Because you can just like use, I literally, my sister's a doctor, so I was like, can you give me a couple syringes?
Hell yeah.
That's so awesome. What you're saying is the Capri Suns got a vaccine before we did.
Well, touch me in the morning and walk away. That is a brilliant concoction that you pulled off.
That's wow. Brilliant. Nobody would ever know. No one will ever know.
I love that.
No one will ever know.
They'll never know.
Well, let's get to the beverages we're drinking thanks to Tavor. So, gentlemen, kick us off. I know we have definitely a lager, it sounds like.
Yes, the Smogtoberfest.
Yes, this one is out of Torrance, California by Smog City Brewing Company. It is delicious. Makes me feel like I am in the middle of Torrance drinking a beer on the street.
That's a that's a terrible thing to say.
It's not great.
Standing in the center of the 405, enjoying.
That's
you know, it captures. It's a festival lager, as it says. Don your finest and pull out your steins. It's Smogtoberfest time. It's a festival in a can. Mm. I think it tastes nice and crisp, just like every other lager.
Man, when you were reading off the description, I don't know, maybe I'm dating myself here. You sounded a lot like the old sketch with Chris Farley and Adam Sandler, where they're the old married couple, and Chris Farley is reading off Zagat's guide.
Wow.
And then he's like, ravioli, holy cannoli.
But you know, when I think of beer, I think of Torrance, California, you know? Like.
Any Smog other City's place. Killing it though. Smog City's doing well, right?
They're great. They're great.
Yeah, they have a bunch of they had a bunch of options there, but again, because our local beer store just only has hazy IPAs, I mean, it was the only option that was not going to make me upset at my life.
Listen, I'm not going to shit on any booze. I love alcohol, but
there,
an IPA is. No.
Undrinkable, I think is the word.
Hey, come on now.
No.
You're just shitting on me right now.
We've really enjoyed being here, but
bye, it was so nice.
Go. Yeah. This episode was really good. We had a lot of fun, but like I have to sleep. No.
Ashley's like, unfollow Drunken Devil, and thanks for listening. Yeah,
this was really great. Thanks. Good night.
Well, Ashley, as the I don't want to say the resident beer expert, but you have a lot of knowledge. What are you going with tonight?
Wow, what do you mean by that?
You drink a lot, is what I mean.
Thank you. Pointing at that, Daddy.
Really. Yeah, you're welcome.
That is true. Hang on, let me grab this can that you cannot see because you guys are not here. I'm drinking a thing called Spirit Foul or Spirit Foul. Spirit Foul? I don't know. It looks dope. It's really fun and you can't see it, but it's an IPA. It's a hazy IPA. It is a 6.3 ABV. It is delicious. I'm enjoying it. But you know what I have found over the last couple of months of doing this show is I don't think I like hazy IPAs anymore.
Hey, us either.
Whoa. I think I want to just stick to like West Coast at this point, which is funny that I say that now because I just got an email from Tavor and they were like, we're sending your box over. And I was like, cool. I really hope there's not a lot of hazy.
Oh, what a swerve.
So wait, now you're going to have to describe to me what the difference is between a hazy and a West Coast.
So hazies are a lot sweeter. They have a lot more sweetness. Mm. They're almost like drinking a juice.
dare I say, hazies have zest.
I was going to say, it's so they're the Capri Sun of beers.
Back to the Capri Sun, apparently.
No. That's no.
Sponsored by Capri Sun.
Fun fact about Capri Sun. I almost died from a Capri Sun.
That's a horrible thing to say.
Go ahead.
No, that's a fun fact.
Yeah.
Wow.
I grew up poor, very white trash. And when I was a child, when my mom would get us Capri Suns, I would like put them in my backpack and I would just kind of save them. And at some point I saved one for too long and didn't realize it. And so in elementary school, I think it was like the fifth or fourth grade, I drank it and got the most severe food poisoning that I almost died. And it was really bad. So my mom doesn't let me drink Capri Sun or watch Peter Pan. So
are they related?
Those two things definitely related? Connect.
They both keep you young.
I actually don't want to know the connection at all because I think it makes it more mysterious and amazing.
No. In previous episodes, we have talked about my Peter Pan experience, which was I jumped off a two-story house.
Okay.
We.
Do you know you have that in common with my mom? My mom's sisters told her that she could fly if she flapped her wings if she jumped off the roof, and she did, and she did not fly.
Your mom is my best friend, so that makes sense.
Well, if you learn anything tonight, it's that if you put a Capri Sun and a McDonald's Happy Meal in the closet for months, one of them will change.
No, I want a Happy Meal.
Keep that in mind. Well, Anastasia, what beer are you drinking?
Oh, I don't know, Johnny. What beer are you drinking? Because I'm drinking Parrish Brewing Company's Rev
Coffee Stout. What?
Whoa.
We both randomly chose the same beer. Out of all the beers on this earth, we are both drinking a Parrish Brewing
Company.
You
have to walk into mine. Oh, what?
From Broussard, Louisiana, clocking in 6.8%. Anastasia, I got to tell you, this is a smooth and very comforting coffee stout.
It tastes like Idris Elba.
Oh my. Hot. Yeah. So I love
I just need to be alone.
I love him so much.
Yeah.
And isn't he our dream cast?
Until I saw Cats.
Ooh.
Oh, I didn't see Cats because I wanted to remain sexually attracted.
No. Here's the thing. I believe for everyone that Cats is necessary viewing. Mm-mm. Yes. It's a magical experience. I'm not here to talk about Cats, but I just wanted to say that you should get high, get drunk, preferably both, and watch Cats. If you have not already, if you somehow avoided the phenomenon of Cats last year.
Not last year. Dame Judy.
I avoided that one really real bad.
Okay. Probably for them.
Well, safe to say, Anastasia, you enjoyed the Rev Coffee Stout.
I did. Sorry, there's no ghost that's bumping. It's my dog. Sorry.
Fair enough. I give this a very high grade. It is delicious. It is distinguished, much like Idris Elba. So there we go. If you do want a discount with your very own...
the next James Bond. Just
that's
kidding.
Right. And he'll be drinking Rev Coffee Stout in his Mercedes or whatever car James Bond drives. Use the code HAUNTS10. Get yourself a discount on your first Crate of Craft beer from Tavor. We love them so much. They're the greatest sponsor, and we drink beer from them every single week. So use the code HAUNTS10. Also, if you want to give us your paranormal experience, call us 818-660-6191. That's 818-660-6191. Leave us a voicemail as long as you want. We will play it on the show. And with that said, it is now time for the Supernatural Scoop. Yeah. So we're going to talk about some UFOs and then some haunted funeral homes. Then we're going to talk about the Cosmic Game. That's a trio right there for you.
Ooh, all right. Three very strange things.
I like it.
That's right. So the first thing, a man in the UK, a senior citizen named Ian Gibbons, claims he saw a UFO emerge from what looked like a portal when he was gazing out of his patio. He said it was very clear It was red and orange and circular. And he, you know, went to go grab his binoculars. He said it was hovering for a few seconds and then it zipped away in very, very hastily fashion, as UFOs claim to do. So, I mean, I don't know. He's a senior citizen. Maybe he's got glaucoma. Who knows? But, you know, we had an American Airlines pilot just a few weeks ago say there was something that zipped over my head. I mean, who are we to say that there isn't some kind of portal that they're zipping in from?
Right. I mean, last year, didn't we get like confirmation that like aliens exist from the Navy or something like that?
Look, last year we got a lot of stuff.
There was a lot of information coming at us last year.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ash.
I'm just saying, why are you willing to believe the pilot over the 70 million year old dude?
Well, because I work with dementia on a regular basis, I'm gonna go with the guy who has fine motor control. That's just me. But
have you met most pilots?
Yeah. Like, look, I don't know. Maybe this guy drinks and lands planes. Like, what's his name? I don't know. Sully. I'm just saying.
Wait, is Sully the one? Right? Yeah, Sully.
Yeah, Tom Hanks. But I mean, I love the idea of the portal. I think that would make sense in a certain way, I guess.
That is some Doctor Strange shit. If I ever heard it. I will believe in that when I believe that Doctor Strange is real.
I think it's cool that they have their own little freeway to us.
I mean, that's true though. I do.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it goes into the whole idea that aliens as like extraterrestrials on a different planet don't necessarily exist, but maybe they exist in a different dimension. And they have dimensional portals that go into our dimension. I don't know.
Are we in a multiverse? Is that what aliens are?
This last year, I feel like it has been.
Yeah, we are suffering from the Mandela effect. So,
and we are in the bad timeline. We are in
Yikes!
Well, you don't know. The other side could be Hellraiser. We don't know. Ooh. We don't know. I'm not there.
Would that be
I'm
a bad thing, though?
Matthew? Yes.
No, it is quite sexy in the Hellraiser dimension. You're right.
And the other story in the Supernatural Scoop, this is a guy named Morty Stein. He's a comedian, but also I want to say he's a funeral home director, I believe. And if you want to follow him on TikTok, it's his handle is at Funeral Home Confessions, where people send him questions and he tells stories about what it's like working in funerals. And the one that I found very interesting is that he talks about a place in Cleveland that is known to be the most haunted funeral home record. It's called the House of Wills. It's a 50,000 square foot funeral home and many, many different spirits. The most noted spirits are the original founder of the home from 80 years ago, a white apparition seen staring down from the second floor, a spectral man in a suit in the casket room, and they say eerie voices abound.
Ooh.
Sounds like a place I'd like to spend the night.
You?
Not me. Maybe not me.
There's a lot of space. 50,000 square feet.
Yeah, it was good. 50,000 square feet. How do I rent a room? Like, what's the...
I think you have to die to rent a room.
Ah, damn it. I don't know what it is about me, but I tend to believe more in, like, the ghosts and spirits than aliens. That's just me, though. I don't know what it is. I just feel like we've all, like, seen things, but I just feel like that's a more realistic phenomenon than an alien. I'm just gonna stop talking and drink my beer because as I hear it come out.
I think it's interesting.
Oh well, for me, like I grew up in Flagstaff, Arizona, which has a very haunted hotel, and so my buddies and I would go and do the haunted tour every so often. And I gotta say, I have seen some shit. Like, I have definitely, I see more of that than I do aliens.
That's
so
true.
I'm gonna have to agree with you there.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, what do you recall seeing in Flagstaff?
Oh, man. So there was a space. So when I was we went to the hotel, and basically it's like three floors. It's a really old hotel from back when Flagstaff was just a logging town. It still is. who are we kidding? And so there were lots of different stories that they had when we were on the tour, and like a couple of things it was like, oh, okay, yeah, there's the woman in the white dress that goes around in the dance hall, and but the one that got me was the creepy basement, of course. And when we were down there, I swear that I literally saw somebody who looked like someone like working on the boiler. And it took all of 3 seconds, but it was very clearly somebody in the space that was not there 3 seconds later. So it was very strange, and is definitely one of the things that I latch onto for, yeah, are spirits real? Like, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Boiler rooms are scary in general. They had us drinking in the boiler room for the Queen Mary, like last time the Queen Mary had the Dark Harbor.
I remember that. I was down there too. I went to that secret bar.
The secret bar. And then like you're drinking and you're kind of walking around and you're like, yeah, this is
not great.
Well, the story that I recall most, and there's a lot of stories in the Queen Mary, as you guys know, but I believe it was an 18-year-old guy who got crushed by the door. And I want to say he was leaving the boiler room, but he kind of got spliced in half. And people can still say they sometimes see the apparition of this guy trying to slide under the door, which is just terrifying and sad.
Ooh, like, I hate everything about that.
Well, the thing about Dark Harbor is every one of the mazes is based on a haunting inside the ship. Mm-hmm. And the naval one is really, really creepy. Like that was intense.
Is that the captain? Is that the one about the captain? There's the captain.
No, the one where they're like on the roof and they're like spraying water at you and you like have to like crawl through stuff.
Ew.
Wait, God, I think that wasn't Intrepid.
It is Intrepid.
Intrepid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. The one with the oh my God, what's his name? I come from the haunted attraction world. That is my original industry. So,
yes.
So Dark Harbor is was very close, very near and dear to my heart. They put on a great event every year.
Yeah.
It had a code. Maybe it was like D something or whatever. It was
UB340, I think.
There we go.
Maybe it's B3. I think those are the names.
It was UB40 and it was a great, it was a concert.
One of those.
Exactly.
But that was brutal. And then there's the lullaby one with the little
kid drown.
So creepy.
Jesus.
Drowning scare me.
That's definitely not the way to go.
No.
Like that and burning, really not really the way to go.
Both have happened at the Queen Mary, apparently.
A lot has happened at the Queen Mary. But speaking of happenings, let's get to the Cosmic Game. So the floor is now yours. Tell us all about it. The Kickstarter begins April 8th. Man. Anastasia is a part of it. And this seems like a very, complicated in a great way. So kind of just let loose. This all is right. Yours. How about it?
Hell wow, yeah.
Thank you.
Let's break it down. So
get us started, Matthew.
We come from a company called Drunken Devil. And Drunken Devil started actually as a haunted house attraction in 2015.
Oh my God, that's right.
That was a long time ago. We after that, we pivoted to the haunted house was not very good.
Hey, now I played the devil. So
the whole concept of Drunken Devil was that it was a horror attraction company, but with a boozy twist. So there was a bar at the end, and it was all overseen by the Drunken Devil, who is a sort of tall Southern gent who would sort of go around and fill up your wine and make you be mischievous. He was just mischievous. He was a charlatan, a mischievous guy that would just, you know, do devilish things. And Mac was actually the original Drunken Devil.
Yeah.
Full prosthetic.
Oh my gosh. That
face,
was
horns, hat, everything.
Oh man. So much makeup. I think I spent the first time we did a photo shoot for the Drunken Devil. I think I spent,
oof. Sorry about the dog. There is a dog in the house.
Spent the first 6 hours, like 6 hours in a chair doing the makeup for the Drunken Devil.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Because it was a full prosthetic on my face. They had horns coming out. And they had to do like a whole like air spray thing on my face and
airbrush.
That's the one. Thank you for the word. But yeah, they did my hands. Like it was a whole thing, and I remember it being an absolute nightmare.
So that's where we started. The haunted house was not very good, but at the end of it, there was a bar, and the bar had burlesque and sort of interactive characters that didn't really have anything to do with anything. They were just there for atmosphere. Then we started doing immersive horror parties, which sounds
wacky.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
But it is, it's exactly what it was. There were these, I'm so sorry about the dog. There is a dog.
Don't worry about it.
It's a hellhound.
He is a hellhound, and I don't know why he won't shut up right now.
You want to talk about our pivot to live at to nightlife?
You want
to
go get the dog?
Yeah. Figure out the dog.
Bring the dog in. Bring in the hellhound.
Oh man, we would, but he's not ours. But no, so we basically for years and years we did thematic events that had, you know, interactive elements, like we had actors roaming around and an involved story and all these different characters that we had. There's the hellhound. Be quiet, you.
Silly boy.
He's so little.
He's very small.
He's got a big voice.
But yeah, so we had a host of original characters, basically, that Matt had kind of come up with for these stories throughout time. And they were all overseen by the Drunken Devil, and they all had some connection to the Seven Sins. And so basically kind of what we've done, because, you know, pandemic, we had to kind of pivot away from live animated entertainment, because we had basically 200 people in a space and drinking and interacting with actors, and there were burlesque shows, thematic cocktails. We had a whole thing going, and, you know, the pandemic kind of shuttered that industry. So we had to kind of learn and kind of pivot and kind of get away from the live entertainment scene.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit more about all those characters. I missed a little bit, but they all sort of spanned across time. So our first one was called Curse of the Jungle Drums, and it was a tiki mid-century event where a bunch of people showed up at a tiki bar in Hollywood and all went crazy because someone brought an idol, cursed idol from a temple.
A little bit Indiana Jones, a little bit, what was the other influence for that one?
It was mainly Indiana Jones. and then we had another one in ancient Rome with Caligula,
yep.
Terrible tyrannical emperor. We had one called Bloody Grom.
He liked to have sex with his mom, right?
He liked to have sex with everyone.
He liked to fuck pretty much everything. There's horses involved.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We did another one called Bloody Gras, which was a horror-themed Mardi Gras, and it took place in Storyville, which was New Orleans' red light district, and that featured it was a brothel of vampire prostitutes, which
to be fair, might not be that far from reality.
Yeah, right. We're reality adjacent with this. You know?
So we took all of these very sort of random events, and in my brain I was like, okay, seven characters, seven deadly sins. We're gonna eventually bring this into a huge live entertainment empire. It's gonna be huge. Cue the pandemic. That all happened. We had to pivot. What are we gonna do? So we took all of this content, all of these ideas, all of these stories, and decided to move into just how do we tell the story while maintaining all of the elements of a Drunken Devil show. You know, as Mac mentioned, there was live entertainment, there was there was burlesque, there was, of course, cocktails. And so I had written a compendium of all of these characters and storylines, and we decided to go with this audio drama called The Cosmic Game. And essentially what it is, it's the origin story of the Drunken Devil. And all of this sounds, I realize now, very convoluted and very insane. And it doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, like looking at any of the other universes that exist right now, you know, like Marvel and things like that, if you look at it from the outside, it is completely convoluted. And like, there's no way to completely understand everything.
True, true, true.
But that's kind of what we wanted to push for. We wanted to have this kind of sweeping epic story that we could tell about these characters that Matt had created through these events.
In like a weird LA nightlife situation that we wanted to expand. So the podcast itself tells the story of God and the devil, how he became the devil. He introduced alcohol. He created alcohol and introduced it to the angels. He was kicked out. And now they've from hell, he comes up and he and God play this game, this cosmic game. And the game is humankind. And so the first season is going to go from the very origin of that, you know, heaven, hell, Garden of Eden, through to ancient Rome and New Orleans, Storyville.
Which, I mean, we could say now that I mean, Anastasia is going to be the kind of the main driving force of that. Her voice is going to be lend to this wonderful world that we've created as one of our main characters, which is going to be really, really cool.
Yes,
I'm so excited for it. And I will tell you, like, from the get, like, it's violent, it's entertaining, it's like the first episode I was like, oh my gosh, they went there. Like,
And what we've seen over the last couple of years, you know, audio storytelling has not only gotten popular, but it is really like the world is your oyster. Like I was part of a modern storytelling of Dracula a couple of years ago that went over the course of three seasons. And they insisted on using real sound effects. Like if glass was going to break, we're breaking glass. Yep. We filmed my death scene on the top of a goddamn mountain. I swear to God.
Wow.
Like that is amazing.
It was incredible. They're really great and very talented people. And like, it sounds like you guys are, you have it all mapped out. Is the plan for one season or are you kind of storybooking out, you know, multiple seasons?
So that's something that, we're really passionate about. I think you touched on it, but we are heavy nerds. Love Star Wars, Marvel, D&D, anything that has an alternate universe, an alternate reality where these characters populate it, that's our shit. So this is the first season of four of the Cosmic Game. Whoa. It is designed to be the introduction to the universe. Right now, only people in LA that came to the events have been able to experience the Drunken Devil world in a live entertainment format, which means very few people at a time. It only happens a couple times a year. We want to break that. And I think the pandemic gave us a really good opportunity to do so, to really sort of bust that out and really expand it to the nation and to the globe, hopefully.
Right. But I think also what you were saying about, you know, audio dramas, they are kind of big, that the audio landscape has become kind of all the rage right now.
It's pre-pandemic.
Yeah, right. Even before the pandemic even started, we had things like the Left Right Game and all these things coming out that were really incredible pieces of work. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to do that, but we also wanted to kind of separate ourselves and elevate ourselves a little bit and elevate our show by using kind of some of the immersive stuff that we learned from doing the live events. So there's going to be immersive and interactive elements to our audio drama that occur in real life. So part of that is also going to come with, we have a set of cocktail recipes, thematic cocktail recipes for each episode. The idea is that they're designed to be made at home so that while you're listening to the episode, you can craft up the cocktail for that episode and feel like you're drinking along with the people in the episode.
Yep. Sort of that harken back to a radio drama, but touching more on what he was saying about interactive elements. It's going to launch in August and end in October leading up to Halloween. People will be able to opt into this story if they want to receive, you know, items, whether they're digital, whether they're virtual interactions, whether they're in real life. We're sort of waiting to see how the pandemic plays out for in real life interactions. And, you know, since everything in season one at least takes place way in the past, the real life elements that will happen take place in modern day in this universe. So it's going to be a puzzle that you'll be able to, listen to every episode, and then you'll be able to put together the pieces of the puzzle in modern times as they are informed by each week's episode. It's very meta, it's very convoluted, but things come together,
I think the word is intricate, not convoluted.
Elaborate.
You know,
elaborate.
Really what it is it's we're trying to, because the season, like we said, we're going to have four seasons. The last season takes place in some sort of around the modern time, so we're able to kind of plant seeds in this first season that will bear fruit in seasons 2, 3, and 4.
Now, how are you able to do it? Obviously, it sounds like you're going to have quite a cast. How can you pull it off in, you know, kind of the modern world where we're in, where you can't necessarily get a whole bunch of people together? Are you relying on your own really good post-production and hope that people can record high quality on their own?
Well, and that's, I think we have a lot of production stuff that's going into this. We, you know, we're hoping that by the time we record it, we'll at least be able to get a few people together. Because a lot of the stuff the people we're using, like we said, are going to be from the live events, some actors that we've used in the live events and things like that. So we know they're in our circle, they're in our pod, so we're able to kind of access that. But ultimately, what we'd really like to do is have something that is really well produced. We have some really, really incredible sound designers working with us. We have our good friend Chris Thomas is going to be creating an original score.
He's a composer.
He's a composer. He's going to create an original score for our.
And I think importantly is that that's why we're doing a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't be able to pull this off ourselves. Gotcha. We need, you know, a well-produced audio drama costs upwards towards $100K for like a nine episode arc. So our, you know, our $16,000 budget is very, very bootstraps. But we are sort of pushing. We've found some unique ways to do recordings that are going to be offsite. A lot of our, like Max said, we have a great host of talent that all have audio setups. So it's going to be a little bit of a hybrid. Are we going to be doing remote recording? Are we going to be doing in person? We're prepared for both. I mean, it would be way better to be in person, we'll see as the pandemic allows.
Amazing. Well, before the episode's out, we're going to get all the social media stuff out there. We're going to support as much as possible. We'll all post we're 100% on board. But I think a fun transition from talking about the cosmic game, where, you know, let's be honest, the devil, he might be the most famous cryptid.
That is accurate.
We found a ridiculous poster of cryptids, many of which none of us had ever heard from before. So Anastasia, you kick it off. Actually, no, Ashley has one she absolutely loves. So
She has to say it. She's so excited. Hear it.
Okay, so he is this cute little tiny baby angel, and his name is Jeff, the talking mongoose.
Oh, Jeff. I know about Jeff.
And I don't know what it is about him, but the fact that his name is Jeff, the talking mongoose, just...
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yep.
What do you know about Jeff? Let me hear it.
I'm with you in that Jeff the Talking Mongoose is by far one of the best names for a cryptid ever. Ever. No doubt in my mind. And that he kind of, it's not that he's necessarily malevolent. I remember that much. He just kind of shows up and has conversations with people and tells them things about what's happening. Which I find helpful cryptids. I'm all about it.
And to be fair, a guy named Jeff, that's what they're good for.
I feel like Jeff the talking mongoose as a cryptid is me as a human. I'm just like, I show up and I tell a story and then bye.
Yep. See you later.
Anna, wait, are you confessing that you are actually Jeff? Is that what you're doing right now? Out of this
entire show has been about me the whole time.
Oh my god.
Shapeshifting Ashley.
Shapeshifting. So I had first of all, this poster is, we'll have to post it because it's insane. And I could talk about so many of the things, like the one that looks like an intestine. I don't really want to talk about it, but he looks like an intestine. But
he's cute.
Sure.
What are they called?
It's a worm,
the
right?
Intestine one? It's a worm.
The Mongolian death worm.
Yeah. But the picture looks like you're kind of like your lower intestine.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Not wrong. Yeah. It's not great. But so two that really popped out to me besides the intestine were the fact that the jackalope is on here. First of all, that's the most hipster.
Hold on now.
Ever.
I have a personal experience with the jackalope. I know the jackalope. Arizonans, they love the jackalope.
Have you seen one?
I have glimpsed one running away. I know they exist. I'm sure of it because I was out camping in the Arizona deserts and lo and behold, some sort of antlered beastie, tiny little thing, ran away. And I caught a glimpse of it and I still believe to this day. It
must be the dry
heat. You weren't at an Urban Outfitters or something.
I mean, I did buy an Urban Outfitters shirt.
Maybe this isn't real. What made me convinced, this creepy shit might not be real. I saw a jackalope, and I was like, I don't know.
I was very high.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. That was my next question. I was like, because I once got high and drunk at Vasquez Rocks and thought I saw pterodactyls, but it turns out they were mountain lions. So
That's worse.
Very different.
That's worse.
Very different.
Not to me, but
yeah, that's a little weirder than a jackalope work at retail. That is odd. I'm gonna throw one at you here.
Okay.
I'm gonna throw one at you. They're a duo. They're called the Melonheads, which they sound like a band that's playing third stage of Coachella, but they're not. They are legendary beings that live in the forests of Michigan, Connecticut, and Ohio. They appear to be remotely human with bulbous melon-like heads. And All three states have a story. The one that is the most disturbing is the Ohio legend. The Melonheads were abandoned children taken in by a scientist named Dr. Crow. So you know it's real. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Crow decided to experiment on them in evil fashion. He eventually injected them with chemicals, which expanded their heads. It made them become mentally ill. Then they attacked Dr. Crow. They killed him and burned down his facility. And now they kill and cannibalize anyone that they come in contact with. Cool. Melonheads.
I mean, that sounds
good
fair.
For them.
Good for them. Exactly.
Hey, yeah, get that revenge.
They've been through a lot.
Mm-hmm. Who are they getting revenge on now? Are they just like
everyone who exists?
It's the world's fault. I get it. I understand.
Anastasia, it's white people. Are you kidding me?
We live in a society. All right.
All right. All right. All right. I needed to know. I had to have clarity. Who was their victims? You know, I want to make sure it was placed well.
There. And I think we all agree that Jeff is by far the best name for the cryptids. I'd like to argue that a close second would be the Puckwudgie.
Yes,
great that is name. Good.
Great name.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good name.
And if you saw this photo, oh my God.
But the picture that freaked me out the most or also made me laugh at the same time was number four, the Flatwood Monster.
I knew it.
Have you looked her up or him?
No, it looks like a witch.
Them up. It looks like some kind of Pokemon.
Flame Princess from fucking Adventure Time. She's Flame Princess.
I'm trying to catch her. I feel
that the Skinwalker in that graphic was quite horrifying. I do not like that. I don't like humanoid things. Yeah. They weird me out. Like humans weird me
he
out.
He looks like an ex of mine, so I don't really.
Actually, how about Skinwalker? That's the question.
How about the Fresno Nightcrawler? This looks like a pair of legs just running.
That's Fresno for you, I guess.
It's actually the half of the guy that got squished in the Queen Mary door.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He made his way to Fresno.
Yeah,
he got there.
It's in the water.
Something about a cryptid waving at me like Jeff does. Just
I love that you love Jeff.
For me.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm half a Sasquatch to begin with, so I mean, like I know those are real.
Hey, same.
Well, the Puckwudgie is 2 to 3 feet tall. Features resemble those of a human with enlarged noses, fingers, and ears. Skin is a smooth gray. And sometimes will glow. It basically comes from Native American folklore. And they can appear and disappear at will. They can transform into a walking porcupine. They are shapeshifters. How about that? Mm. They can attack people, lure people, poison arrows. Oh, they're also, wow, they have a lot of skills.
Puckwudgie does sound like something that came out of a Harry Potter book, though. Like,
you know it is.
Sounds like it's.
Is it really? That's that one of the American houses.
Oh, it is. Well, that makes sense. I don't know that deep into the Harry Potter lore.
Yeah, it's, you know, like they have the horned serpent and the Puckwudgies. What was the other one? Wombus?
I just know Puckwudgie because I got that on Pottermore.
Oh, so you only know your house.
Yeah.
I see. All right.
Let's see. There's a couple other good names here. There's one called the Enfield Horror. It just looks like a little guy with big eyes.
I feel like that's a movie, too.
Is that like related to the Enfield haunting and that was made famous by The Conjuring, the Enfield poltergeist. Ooh, the Enfield. I love The Conjuring, so I'm a yeah,
possibly
maybe the Enfield Horror.
I mean, I like that his name is just like I am the horror. Like it's very ballsy to come out and be just like I am the horror of
that was my nickname in West Hollywood, the horror.
Hey.
But it tells you what you're going to get. You know, he's very honest. He's like, listen,
mm-hmm. I'm a horror.
Look, I'm the horror. I'm
terrible.
Yeah.
And I think we need to give a shout out to the last one on the list, which is a hoop snake, which is a snake.
It's just a snake.
But it's next to a hand. It's next to like a giant circle with hands.
Oh, you mean the Cabbage Town Tunnel Monster?
Yeah. And then number five looks like a scrunchie. And I'm like, okay, scrunchie, come through.
Oh, you mean a globster?
A globster. Yes.
I can tell you about a globster. I did research on globsters.
What?
It's essentially an unidentified mass that washes up on the shoreline or another body of water, coined in 1962 to describe the Tasmanian carcass of 1960, which had no eyes, no defined head, no apparent bone structure. Long story short, a lot of people think, oh, it's gigantic octopi, or it's large sharks, or it's whales. And a lot of times they do tests on them. They end up being part of whales or part of massive sharks. But there's been like the St. Augustine monster. There's Trunks lobster. And then there's one in Newfoundland as well. But yes, on this map, it just looks like a blob.
It's a scrunchie.
It's a scrunchie.
Yeah. It's or a slinky.
Or slinky. Sure.
There we go.
And I forget that the jackalope is actually a cryptid. I forget. It's just because, like, in Arizona, you're just taught that that's what it is. That just exists.
It begins and ends with jackalope.
So I want to wrap this up. I know we got to wrap it up, but look, listen, a jackalope exists, but other like entities from other planets, no,
absolutely not. Yeah, I refuse to believe in aliens, but jackalopes, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
I thought jackalopes were real initially, so seeing a jackalope on this list, I was just like, oh wait.
Well, that's like what I tell people, like my favorite mammal, like my favorite marine mammal is a narwhal. And people are like, no, like a real one. And I'm like, they are real.
And it's like, they're the unicorns of the sea.
They are the unicorns of the sea. But they're
real. Unicorns are real.
They exist.
Well, with that said. Let's turn it over to a couple of gentlemen who are very far from cryptids, but are just as special. Matt and Mac, tell everyone about how they can find not only Drunken Devil, but everything about the Cosmic Game and the Kickstarter, because we all want to make this happen.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
thank you, guys. Biggest thing is follow us on the socials. Almost everything is at Drunken Devil.
One of them is at Drunken Devil. Our Instagram is at Drunken Devil. Our Twitter is at Drunken Devil. Underscore,
right.
And then Facebook is /TheDrunkenDevil. Our website is also The Drunken Devil because someone, and I'm having a fight with them right now, owns them on GoDaddy, and I hate them.
Okay.
So much.
We're going to track them down and sick the devil out of them.
But yeah, I feel like you're Anastasia Washington, Anastasia Wash underscore Anastasia.
Yeah,
what it is, but primarily Instagram. That's where we post the most.
Oh yeah.
All of those socials have links to the Kickstarter. You could also go to thedrunkendevil.com/Kickstarter to sign up for launch notifications. We do launch April 8th. We're in a pre-launch mode right now. So,
but yeah, you can actually go on to Kickstarter right now and sign up for updates. That'll let you know kind of when everything gets started so that you're ready to rock once the Kickstarter goes up.
Mm-hmm. We have amazing rewards planned from collectibles to a cocktail book that's downloadable. Hopefully if we make a stretch goal, we can make it a physical copy. All of our rewards, wink, wink, tie into the lore of the Drunken Devil somehow. So everything about this audio drama, from the story to the interactive elements to the cocktails themselves to the rewards and the Kickstarter, all help build and expand this universe. Yeah, so
they're all lore builders, which is awesome.
We're just trying to bring this world to life. And so any support is appreciated. And loved.
And if you give $2 million, I'll go on a date with you. Just kidding. Yeah.
Both go on a date with you. I will be wearing just a thong though. So that's
all it takes.
I can follow up by saying, if you donate way less than $2 million, she will still go on a date with you.
What you look like though. Okay.
Can I just donate myself?
There you go. Well, congratulations, guys. This is a huge endeavor, and obviously this is a hell of a dream to go after. And so we can't wait to see where it leads.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure to be on here, and we're really excited to get this project up and running.
Yes.
Yay. Big time. Anastasia, where can people find you besides on the Cosmic Game?
Oh, yes. Well, you can find me at Anastasia W on Twitter and TikTok, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram. Yeah, Ashley, whatever. TikTok. I give good advice sometimes on there. Also on March 24th, my one-woman show, 50 Shades of Mixed Confessions of Your Ethnically Ambiguous Best Friend, will be streaming virtually for 72 hours. You don't have to wear pants or anything. You could just watch it, but don't tell me about it.
That's my favorite kind of show.
Yeah, so that's me.
And this is Ashley Trobe.
Nothing. I'm not doing anything. I'm on the internet as Ashley Trobe, and that's it.
There we go. Yeah. You can find us at WonderCon from home this year, coming up in just a couple of weeks. We can't exactly say when, but WonderCon is taking place March 26th and 27th. We have a very, very special show lined up for you. We're going to talk all about it next week, as that will be the week of WonderCon. So follow at WonderCon. Of course, follow us. Give us a nice review. Tell friends about the show. I'm at Jay Quasto. And you know what? Follow me on TikTok, too. I post stand-up clips. I post other funny things. And there's going to be a massive project in the works over the next couple of months, once I'm allowed to say something. So, yeah, why not? At Jay Quasto. And we are at Haunts and Hops. Use the code HAUNTS10 for Tavor. And it's now time to say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank
bye,
you.
Everybody.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.